And now your speaker, Ron Martin.
In our study of God's Word together today, I want to study one of the most fundamental lessons in all of the Scriptures. It is a lesson that has been a part of our thinking and a part of our understanding since we were old enough to read the Scriptures. The longest sermon that we have recorded of Jesus is found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And Jesus comes, seeing the multitudes. He came up to a mountain, and when he was set, he opened his mouth and taught the people. In this great Sermon on the Mount, which contains 107 verses, we find Jesus teaching a very familiar statement as he begins with the Beatitudes. The word Beatitude means blessed, and the word blessed itself means happy. In all of our pursuits for happiness, Jesus tells how that we can really and truly be happy. Read with me those familiar words. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now in these great Beatitudes, notice that there is a condition. And with each of those conditions is a promise that is given. Notice the first Beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, whenever you think about the word poor, we some may know what it means to be poor in a physical sense. I've reached down in my pocket more than once and found nothing in that pocket. I know what it's like to be poor in that regard. But notice, blessed are the poor in spirit. Whenever you think of the word poor, you think of being destitute or without. Do you think in the Scriptures we have an example or anywhere that a person has been poor in spirit? I believe all of us who are a part of the body of Christ know what it means to be poor in spirit. To me, to be poor in spirit, it simply means that we have found a need, that we realize that we're not able to do it by ourselves. I am in need of a Savior because I am a sinner. Therefore, I'm destitute. I'm without hope and without God, without Christ. There's an example that is given to us on the day of Pentecost. In this great day, the apostles stood up and they spoke to the different languages of those gathered upon this great birthday of the church. And as they spoke, the end of that great sermon has this conclusion: "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now look at this audience that he's addressing. Notice just a few days before, they had been there and they had Christ stand before them and they said, "We want Barabbas. We want a murderer rather than releasing to us Christ." The question rings out, "What shall I do with Jesus?" And this audience cries out, "Let him be crucified." The question goes again, "What shall I do with Christ?" And they are the ones that ring out with great tumult and say, "Let him be crucified." They are the ones who pass by and watch Jesus being scourged and seeing his back ripped open, watching that crown of thorns being placed upon his brow, seeing the blood drop down from his brow, watching him insulted, spit upon, watching him put that cross upon his shoulder and trying to make his way up to the top of Golgotha. They are the ones who witness Christ being laid upon that cross and seeing his nails being, the nails being put into the palms of his hand, seeing him affixed to that cross, and that cross raised up between heaven and earth, and Jesus dying upon that cross. And even in his death, they passed by the base of that cross, wagging their heads, making fun of him. "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross and we'll believe." Laughing at his death as he died upon that cross. Now here it is a few days later. And Peter stands before them and says, "You are guilty of crucifying Jesus the Christ, the Son of God." Now notice how they were poor in spirit. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were cut to the very core. And they said, "Is there anything we can do? We are in need. What can we do? What is it possible for us to do?" And they were told exactly what to do, to repent and to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's go just a few more chapters over the book of Acts. And there, I want you to see another man who realized that he was poor in spirit. Whenever you first see this young man, you don't see one that's poor in spirit. You see one that is arrogant, one that pursues after those who are Christians. Even when Stephen is being stoned, he is standing there holding their garments and consenting to the death of Stephen, who was the first Christian martyr. And he decides, "I'm going to actively pursue those who are Christians. I've heard that there are Christians in Damascus, and I want to go after them. I don't want those Christians not to suffer." And the ninth chapter of the book of Acts begins by saying, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if any found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now look at this man, Saul, who came to be the great apostle Paul. At the very early stages, you see him so arrogant, filled with pride, saying, I am so bright, I am so strong. Now look at him. The light shines down to Saul. The voice speaks and says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus, Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Now look at this poor in spirit. Lord, what will you have me do? All of the pride, all of the haughtiness is removed in this statement. And here the poor in spirit comes out. I'm in need of doing something. And he's told to go on into the city of Damascus, and it will be told thee what thou must do. There's one more example that I want to give to you this morning of being poor in spirit. And it is found in that noble account in the city of Philippi. In Philippi, you have a very prosperous city. A city, though, when the gospel is preached, they rise up against it. And Paul and Silas, the preachers of the gospel there, are put in prison because they come preaching the gospel in this city. And Paul and Silas are put into the prison at Philippi. And in the 16th chapter, in verse 25, it tells what these two preachers are doing. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors opened, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now notice our third evidence of the poor in spirit here. Notice this man. He's a jailer by occupation. Just a few hours earlier, he has been the one that administered the stripes across their backs. He's been the one who's responsible for them. The earthquake is so violent that it causes the prison doors to spring open. This man, knowing the law of the Romans, that if a prisoner escaped, that it meant his life, took out the sword and was ready to take his own life. Paul said, "Don't do yourself any harm. We're all here." Notice the change in this man. He's trembling. He's shaking. He comes in and he's got a question as he brings them out of that prison. He says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Notice this man. He realizes, "I'm in need. I'm a sinner. So therefore, I must do something. I have a great responsibility to save myself. What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in the Lord with all his house. Now notice what Jesus says. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." A few weeks ago, in fact, it's only been 2 weeks ago, at the Harmony Church of Christ, the invitation of our Lord was extended. As this invitation went out to this congregation, there was a couple well along in years who quickly moved down the aisle. As they came forward that Sunday morning, tears were coming down their eyes. And they came forward and they said, "We have made such a mess of our lives. We once were faithful to the cause of Christ. We once attended the service of the church on a regular basis, but along the way, we have wandered away. Our lives are filled with so many things that are wrong. We've lost our children. We want to come back. We want to be a part of the body of Christ." How pitiful that is. But how wonderful it is as well, of knowing and looking at our lives the way they are and realizing, "I need Christ. I need to do something about my life." As a young man coming to this congregation, I was taught well about how to obey the gospel. I understood exactly what I should do to obey the gospel. But as I continued day by day, I put it off. I said, "I'm going to obey the gospel, but not right now." Putting off, saying, "Later, I plan to." And then I started looking at myself and I started saying, "I know what is right. I know what I should do. Therefore, it becomes my responsibility to do exactly what I know God wants me to do. I realize I am nothing without Jesus, that He is my Savior. And so, therefore, in order to be saved, I must obey the gospel. I must do exactly what God has told me to do." As I look at this audience this morning, I know that there are some who haven't obeyed the gospel. I know some in this audience have put it off for years and years and have failed to realize, "I need to come and obey the gospel." Right now is the time to come and obey Christ to do exactly all that is required of us. As we close our lesson this morning, I want to give to you the great invitation of Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. Notice what Jesus said here. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Look at ourselves, just like that prodigal son did. Look where I'm going in life. Am I trying to build my life just on time or money or upon reputation? But have I turned to God? Have I looked at myself and audited my life and said, "I am nothing without Christ. Therefore, I need to come and mend and mold my life back together"? There's a person here this morning who can step forward and lead someone else to Christ. You can come this day and say, "I realize I have done wrong. Therefore, I want to turn and come back and do God's will." Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus waiting as we stand and sing.